I want you to find John chapter 13, if you would. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And once you find John 13, find verse number 4. John 13, verse 4. I'm going to ask that you stand, John chapter 13, verse 4, in a moment. I'm going to read the scripture. I would like to make a couple of comments before I read the scripture. I want you to understand, and I want us all to understand, man and God think somewhat differently. With God, the way up is down. The way to get is to give. The way to increase is to decrease. The way to lead is to follow. He tells us to love our enemies. He told us to follow that which we cannot see. He made statements like, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall save it. He told us giving is more important than receiving. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And His are always better and higher and more pure. Tonight, I'll show you again that God thinks somewhat differently than the human race. John chapter 13, verse number 4, it says, He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Verse number 12. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he saith unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Look at verse 15. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. In verse number 16, you find the title of tonight's sermon, The Servant is Not Greater than His Lord. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight to see the great example of Jesus. Help us to follow it. Lord, help us not to miss the great and powerful example. And Lord, help us to follow that example, though it be so simple. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can have a seat there. Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room. It was the night before he would be crucified. It would not be long until he would be in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he would begin to pray and he would sweat great drops of blood. Judas would soon betray him. The next day, Jesus would be hanging on the cross of Calvary. You know, if a person ever had the right to turn his attention to himself, at this point, Jesus did. Knowing what he was about to go through, if anybody had the right to become a bit self-centered, Jesus sure did. He knew what was on the immediate horizon. And what did he do? According to this passage of Scripture, he pulled his friends together, his disciples, and he said, Men, I want to wash your feet. You say, well, what's that all about, washing the feet? Well, in that day, they would have wore sandals. Their shoes would have not encased their feet. So everywhere they walked, their feet would get extremely, extremely dirty. Their feet would get dusty and dry. And, of course, the roads would not have been paved like ours. They wouldn't have had asphalt and cement. And so many of the roads would be dirt and dust and sand. And so when they would go into a home, it was a tradition that feet would be washed. Now, in some homes, if you went to visit, if it were a bit of a poorer home, they would provide you with water and a towel. And when you would go into their home, you would take your sandals off and you would wash your own feet before you went in. If a home were maybe a little more prominent, they might have a servant or a slave, and that slave would wash the feet of the people coming into the home. This was considered one of the filthiest and lowest jobs of the slave, that he would have to wash a stranger or somebody else's feet. And here our Savior, the night before he gets crucified, washes the disciples' feet. Could I say, nobody in this auditorium tonight is better than Jesus. And if he was willing to become a servant to that degree, to wash the disciples' feet, I think we should too. Jesus was not setting up a new ordinance where he was wanting everybody to wash feet all the time at the church, but he was certainly setting an example that is an example worth following. Hey, could any of God's children say that you this week humbled yourself and went out of your way to serve them? Would you possibly do a dirty job for somebody else in an effort to express your love to them? Would you take upon yourself a filthy, nasty job so somebody else didn't have to do it just because they are your Christian brother or sister? What's your excuse for, if you will, not washing the feet of some other Christian this week? Too busy? Well, I would tell you this. Nobody in here is more busy than Jesus. And nobody's more busy than what he was. Hey, is your reason, because that would be too degrading? And you think about it. Even when I talked about washing feet, there were people that kind of turned their nose up a little bit and thinking, yeah, that's kind of nasty, washing someone's feet. Well, sure, I could see why you would feel that way. But would that be degrading to you? Let me explain. I don't think it was degrading to Jesus. I think he was doing something that he thought was pure and honest and good and wholesome. Are we too caught up in taking care of ourselves that we would, if you will, wash someone's feet? Are we too important to ourselves? Are we too self-centered? If I could, let me real simply talk to you about, you heard the scripture. He said there to us, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord." You know what that means? If you're a born-again Christian, we would claim him as our Lord. Are we greater than he is? Why, certainly nobody here would think that. Oh, then we should be willing to do what he did. Matter of fact, we ought to be willing to go far further than that. Because we are the servants, he is the Lord, and he is greater than we are. And so, I want to make a couple of quick applications to this thought of the servant is not greater than the Lord. First of all, the washing of their feet showed that he was more concerned with others than he was with himself. The washing of their feet showed that he was more concerned with others than he was himself. In John 13:1, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Remember, Jesus knew what was coming at him in the next 24 hours. I wish I had time to go through what he suffered in the crucifixion. But he knew that was coming. Now, let me tell you something. If you knew you were going to be publicly humiliated and have your clothes taken away from you, marched through the streets, spat upon, your beard plucked, a spear in your side, nails in your hands, mocked, derided, cussed, beaten, if you knew that was coming, would you go find someone to do something nice for? But that's what Jesus did. His mind was not on himself. He was busy serving others. He could have been depressed. He could have went and found him a hole somewhere and said, I'm going to have a pity party. This is terrible. What's going to happen to me? That's not what he did. What he did, he said, I'm going to go find someone. I'm going to serve them. I'm going to do something for somebody else. He loved others so much, he did not let his forthcoming death stop him from serving, even on the brink of the messiest, nastiest, bloodiest beating that a man could take. Well, let me tell you something. It's easy to serve God when everything is going your way. It's easy to serve others when everything's going your way. We'll find out what you're made of when it's not going your way. What I like about this is Jesus was on the brink of what we would all call somewhat of a physical disaster. But it did not stop him from serving the people. Now, so you understand, if you would have been alive, you would have washed yours. This pictures what Jesus did for us and what he does for us. Hey, do you serve God only when things are going your way? That's easy. But listen, when your finances are not going well, do you still look for ways to serve others? You know, you can serve someone and it doesn't have to cost you money. There are ways to serve without costing you money. Do you serve God when your body is not well? Do you serve others when your body's not well? Hey, when things are not going well in your home, in your family, could I recommend something to you? Don't stop serving God and don't stop serving others. When things aren't going well with your employment or the business is not going well, could I recommend to everybody in here that we follow the example of Jesus Christ? He kept serving other people even when it seems like everything was not going so well. Don't let the fact that things aren't going well for you keep you from helping other people. Keep on serving. You know, one way for you to get a blessing from your Heavenly Father is to be busy serving His children. You young people, you ride a bus into church. And we're glad you're here. And we want to provide a ride for you. And we want to help you. And we want to do things for you. But young people, don't get the idea that everybody's supposed to serve you all the time. If you ride a bus, that does not eliminate your responsibility of learning how to serve other people. You ought to be trying to help somebody. You say, but Pastor, I don't have any money. You don't always have to have money. But everybody here, we ought to make sure that we're careful to keep serving. Hey, when you go through tough times, there are people that will serve you and try to help you and be a blessing to you. But can I tell you something? Just because you're going through a tough time, nowhere in the Bible does it say, if you're going through a tough time, you don't have to help other people. I can't find that in the Bible. If you're going through a tough time, there'll be people that will help you. But you know something? You ought to go help somebody too. You say, I can't do much. Okay, then do what you can. But Jesus was facing a major emotional challenge, a major physical challenge, a major spiritual challenge that would change the entire world's future. That's relatively emotionally heavy. But he wasn't all self-centered, self-consumed, looking for everybody to cater to him. What can you do for me? What do I get out of this? You know what he did? He said, I'm going to set an example now. Get your eyes off yourself. He said, I'm going to get my eyes on other people while I face the crucifixion tomorrow. Now, here's the thing. He, being the all-knowing God that he was, he knew what tomorrow held. Now, we'd be all freaked out. If we knew what tomorrow held, we just couldn't handle it. We just couldn't deal with it. He did. And in the face of it all, he said to those disciples, you guys come sit down here. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to wash your feet. All the terrible, filthy things that were about to happen to Jesus, and he took the time to serve dirty, lowly human beings. Secondly, Jesus was the King of Kings, but he became a servant that washed the feet of others. In John chapter 1, verse number 3, it tells us that all things were made by Him, and without anything, without Him was not anything made that was made. You understand who this was? This just wasn't a great guy washing these feet. This wasn't just a king of the earth washing feet. Jesus was God come in the flesh. God washed feet. That's so awesome to me. God washing feet. Hey, what is it that's beneath you? What is it you're not willing to do for God because you have more status and you're of greater quality or caliber than that task? According to this, if God can wash stinky feet, the servant, that's us, is not greater than the Lord, that's Him. He becomes a slave. It was the slave that washed the feet. And again, what humility. Watching the great God of the universe take the position of a slave to wash feet of dirty human beings. You see, God and man, we just somehow don't think the same. Man thinks greatness is being obeyed. God thinks greatness is obeying. You say, I want a lot of people to obey me. That makes me great. And God said, you learning how to obey is what makes you great. Man thinks greatness is being served. If I can get a lot of people to serve me, that makes me great. And God thinks the exact opposite. God thinks greatness is in serving others. We think a great person is one who gets the credit. God thinks a great person is someone that doesn't want the credit. And they would just as well someone else get the credit. Man thinks that greatness is when I receive much. But God thinks greatness is when you give much. Oh my, what a great God. And man sure has lost track of what true spirituality is. Hey, the custom of the household in that day is the servant would wash the feet of the people as they came in the house. That's because of course, walking on these dirty, dusty roads. So Jesus becomes a slave. And let me explain. He does it willingly. Jesus chose to wash their feet. Nobody forced Him to serve to this degree. Nobody begged Him. It was all His idea. Could I recommend something to you and to me? We might want to get this idea that serving God's people and serving is a great idea. And it's not a bad thing to serve in the shadows and get no credit. Just serve. What service is too small for you? Wonder if we needed a church bus swept out. You say, well, I went to college so I could avoid these type things. Then maybe you went to the wrong college. If you went to a college to feed your vanity, to make you better than everybody else, I think you missed what education really is. Are you willing to gas up some buses? Could you pull some weeds? Would you fold the flyers that need to be stuck in an envelope that need to be sent out to the people? Could you make some cookies for a Sunday school class? Are you willing to work? Maybe as an usher. Could you set up some chairs? Would you pick up the trash off the floor? Could you help direct some traffic? Could you put the trash cans out at the road? Would you clean the restrooms where the urine has spilled onto the floor? Where dirty human beings that do not understand how to attend to themselves properly leave behind things that should never be left behind? You say, I don't want to do that. Jesus was associating Himself with that very thing. He was saying, I am not going to let anything be too little, too menial. I'm willing to do what needs to be done. Jesus has set a wonderful example. See, first of all, the washing of the feet showed that he was more concerned with others than he was with himself. The washing of the feet reminded us that the King of Kings becomes a servant and washes feet. In other words, God came down and washed stinky feet to show the human race not to get arrogant. Because if God's willing, why wouldn't we be willing? Let me say this in number three. Everybody's feet stink. Everybody's feet stink. Did you know, if a perfect Savior can serve a dirty sinner, then I'd guess dirty sinners should serve dirty sinners. Let me say it again. If a perfect Savior can serve dirty sinners, then dirty sinners should serve dirty sinners. In John 13:7, Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Jesus had said to the disciples, they didn't quite understand what was going on when he was washing their feet. In other words, they didn't know what they needed. They somehow had developed their own perceptions about what ought to be done. And Jesus was pushing the reset button. He was saying, and there's some teaching here, other than just his humility, I think he was saying that Christians that walk in this world will need some cleansing. You've been out in the world, you get dirt on your feet. That's one of the reasons to come to the church. You come to church and let the Word of God cleanse you. Let the preaching of the Word of God cleanse you. Now, when we got saved, we got a cleansing that will get us to heaven. But wait a minute. We have a daily cleansing now that helps us to live right on a daily basis. We're saved. We're on our way to heaven. God has given us that as a free gift. But He wants us to keep ourselves cleaned up on our way to heaven. Not for salvation. Not even to keep our salvation. He did all that. He does the keeping of our salvation. But He wants us to be clean. We, every day, need to keep ourselves clean. Psalm 66:18 says, If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Can I recommend something to you? You need to make sure that you're keeping yourself cleaned up on a daily basis. I think one of the reasons why people, they want to pray, but so many times they don't get their prayers answered is because they get some sin in their life, and God says, I'd like you to clean that up, and then I could hear you a little bit better. Because it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There's something that we do, and I think we probably ought to give a little attention to adjusting this. You know, somebody can go out and do a bunch of dumb things, sin, do things they shouldn't, multiple things, and then they want to go to God and say, God, forgive me for what I did. And that's virtually how they do it. Now, here's what we do. We take the time to commit each sin independently. But then when we go to confess it, we just say, God, forgive me for that. Now, if you'll take the time to commit each one of those transgressions, don't you think it wouldn't be bad for you to tell God that you knew what the transgressions were? Were there any, instead of, you say, well, I have just been out of God's will for 3 weeks and the mess that I've created for myself. Now, you can go to God and say, God, forgive me for that mess. But it might not hurt you to say, God, I was drinking, I was smoking, I was cussing, I was making a mess. I know it, and I want you to forgive me for it. See, we'll give the devil the time that it takes to commit the sins, but we want God to just, with a one blanket statement, say, God, forgive me, and it's gone. Now, God's a forgiving God. Don't get me wrong. Now, I'm not upset about God's part in this at all. I'm just wondering if we shouldn't take just a little bit more time to confess what we did wrong so He knows we know what we're talking about. Keep yourself clean. Now, everybody's feet stink. Maybe is there somebody in the church that you'd say, I would never be of a help to them? Huh? Is there some sinner that's too dirty for you to love them? I'll tell you, you say, all right, well, Pastor, there's nobody around here that feels that way. There's all sorts of places you can go and you can find self-righteous people that are too good to help some lowly Christian that's what, in their opinion, some dirty Christian. Folks, we're all dirty Christians. Look, if you're saved, you ought to be willing to help and serve other people. See, there's only two kinds of sinners in this room. Saved sinners and lost sinners. So if you're saved, you're still a sinner. The saving that you got to take advantage of, he did all the work. You just let him save you. Never lose track of that. Let's never get too good to serve one another. You say, why? Because everybody's feet stink. So I believe that Jesus was trying to say, no matter what you're going through, keep serving me and keep serving others. I believe that Jesus was trying to show us that if the great King of Kings can wash someone's feet, we should be willing to do the same. I think he was trying to tell us that we're not so good that we couldn't wash somebody else's stinky feet. The last thing I want to tell you, and this is basically me saying the same thing over again, but I'm going to say it. Christians should serve other Christians. That's what he was teaching us. In 1 John 3:16, it says, hereby perceive we that the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand that verse. You might say that verse is teaching I should die for another Christian. I'm not really sure that's what it's teaching. But if you're willing to die for another Christian, okay. I wouldn't challenge you on it. But what it's talking about here, when it means to lay down your life, it means you be more concerned about theirs than yours. You're taking your life out of the prominent position of your hands. You're laying it aside and saying, I'm going to go help somebody else and stop worrying about uplifting myself. You lay down your life to go help somebody else. You know, you say, well, I think we ought to be willing to die for the Savior. I do too. But since nobody in here needs to die for him, could I recommend that you live for him? You say, I think we ought to be willing to die for each other as Christian brothers. Me too. But God would be real pleased if we would just live and get along and love each other. You see, dying's a one-time event. Living, that's tough. That's tough. You say, I'd die for my wife. Won't you live for your wife? I'll die for my husband. Won't you live for your husband? And I'm not replacing Jesus in anybody's life. What I'm telling you is lay down your life. Stop worrying about you. Get your eyes off yourself. Lay down your life and go help somebody else. Christians should serve Christians. Paul was a servant to Barnabas until Paul became the greatest leader of the New Testament other than Jesus Christ. David was a servant to King Saul until David became a greater king than Saul. Joshua was a servant to Moses until Joshua became the leader that replaced Moses. Elisha was a servant to Elijah until Elisha became a leader that did twice as many miracles as his Elijah. Billy Sunday was a servant to J. Wilbur Chapman until Billy Sunday became better known and greater than Chapman. And I'm not talking about a professional humility. You say, what do you mean by that? You're doing it because it's a part of climbing the ladder of success. I'm willing to submit because of what I'll get out of it. Now, you ought to be willing to submit because of what you'll become because of it. I'm not talking about an insincerity. I'm talking about sincere love and duty that realizes that the servant is the greatest of them all, and we're not to exalt ourselves, but we are to humbly serve, whether we get credit, whether it's a big job or a little job. No job is out of my desire to serve and to please. Did you know washing dishes is not a small task when it's being done for the right reason? I heard my wife speaking to a group of ladies, and she was talking about what they would, a lady might consider some menial task at home. And she said, "Ladies, don't miss it. You get to do," she called it, "angel's work." Angel's work. Listen, some of you act like you're a fallen angel when it comes to serving your family. Are you tired of serving the people in your home? Does it need to be all about you? You don't want to make those beds anymore. You don't want to mow that yard anymore. You don't want to do those duties. You want to know how to have a happy home? Why didn't everybody just serve each other? Husband, serve your wife. Wives, serve your husband. Parents, and parents do, whether you kids realize or not. That's why they go to work and provide for you. What are they doing? They're serving you. They're loving you. But young people, serve your mom. Serve your dad. Hey, boss, serve those employees. I'll tell you something. You treat your employees right and you help them, you'll get a better employee out of it. But let me say something. Employee, serve the boss. You know what the government's supposed to do? The United States government is to serve its people. It's what they're supposed to do. Serve. Every chance we have to serve, we should serve as unto the Lord. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Hey, what did you do this week in an effort to be a humble servant? Jesus told the guys, he said, "Fellas, tomorrow's going to be a rough day. And before I go, I just thought we'd do a little something. Take your shoes off. I want to wash your feet." And Peter said, "Oh, you're not washing my feet." And Jesus said, if you don't let me wash your feet, I'll have no part with you. And I love what Peter said. He said, "Don't wash my feet only. Wash my hands." If this thing right here has something to do with you blessing me, Peter said, I'm all in. And I love Peter's reaction. If this were a rousing sermon about becoming great and powerful and being at the top of the totem pole, we could get pretty excited. But I'm trying to get us at the bottom of the totem pole and serving. And the servant is not greater than his Lord.